of them. No wonder I wasn't feeling. It was warm up here. My hearing couldn't hear the fan, you know. I can't hear it whether it's on or off. So, you know, I don't know what that says about your hearing. So I could surely feel, I thought, well, it sure isn't blowing much today, but it was off. So I surely need your prayers as I stand before you. Thank God for that sweet prayer, Brother Charles. Give the Lord the glory for that. I know it's He who has worked in your heart, allowed you to be able to speak those words that come from Him. And I believe each of you have been praying for me, and hope you have. And if you have, continue. And if you haven't, please start. I surely need them. And it's a wonderful thing that you can just speak to the Lord even there in the pew, and without having to even move your lips or make a sound from your heart, you can offer up that petition unto God. How often we ought to be doing that in our lives as we live. We're to pray without ceasing, so that means to keep in communication with the Lord. And when we have that communication with the Lord, we have an awareness that the Lord is with us. And that's a great consolation for you as you live here in this world. It'll also help you not act like we do sometimes when you recognize the Lord is with me and He's right here. And He is already there. It isn't just when you acknowledge that He's there that He's there. He's always there. He's everywhere present. And He's nowhere absent. He's not only on the outside looking in, He's on the inside. And He knows everything about us. And that ought to cause us to be mindful in our lives of what we say and what we do and how even we think. And that's a lot of what the Bible teaches God's little children about. Because of who you are as a little child of God, you were bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus. You're valuable in His sight. You're like the apple of His eye. You're like the pupil, the eyes. Your eye will protect itself. Anything coming at that is going to immediately protect. That to God, that's God's your protector. God's your keeper. God's your shelter. God's your help. He's not to be feared in the sense of a slavish fear. He is to be feared in the sense of a reverential fear. We are to recognize our responsibility as His children to live in a way to honor such a God who would love us so much that He would send His Son to die for us and pay a sin debt for us. And what manner of people ought we to be because of that? And we are here to say to you today, great is His faithfulness. He will and does keep His word. And great is His love. And great is His mercy. And great is His grace. And He's just a great, great, good God. The Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever. And just pray the Lord would bless us as we look at a portion of Scripture just for a little while this morning. Recognize we spent some time talking about those that are sick, and we spend some time in our prayer and in our song service, and all of those are very important parts of our service. I love the order of the Lord's church. The Lord's designed it and made it just right. He's put in it praying, and He's given us prayer that we can offer unto the Lord. He's also given us singing where we can lift up our voices in praise and adoration to the Lord and speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And He's given us preaching, to where we take the Bible and we teach God's little children, and we lay out the truth as it is in Christ from the Scripture with a thus saith the Lord. And in order to have any of that that's valuable or of any benefit, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to bless the prayer so it's meaningful. Song service without the Holy Spirit is a cold thing. It can be something that feeds the natural mind and feeds the natural ear and feeds the natural man, but it's not of any benefit unless the Lord moves in your life and moves in your heart and allows you to feel that during the song service. I hope you didn't go through the motions today. I hope we didn't go through the motions of a song service just by singing things without feeling it in our heart. You know, I think I can feel the difference, and I felt that this morning. The hymns speak a lot of times just what's on my mind and what's in our hearts. And to be able to say that to one another is an encouragement, and more importantly, to lift up our voice in praise unto God. I ask you today, has the Lord been good to you? He's surely been good to me. And the hymn writer says, I want to praise His name. Don't you want to praise His name? Don't you want to thank Him for His goodness and His mercy to you today? Do you want to say, Lord, Lord, please accept the praise I bring. Lord, accept my feeble attempts to worship Thee as much as I can. I feel like they fall so far short of being what they ought to be. But Lord, please hear our songs of adoration and praise. Lord, hear our voice as we cry unto Thee in need. And Lord, help us as we come to Thee and seek Thee for refuge and help. Lord, be that strength for us and that help for us and that You've always been and that which Thou would always be. But dear Lord, we come to Thee just as I am, the hymn writer wrote, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me and that Thou bidst me. Listen, He bid us to come. Isn't that good? He said, come unto me all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. And I might know. He said, and I will give you rest. There's rest for the weary. Rest for the weary. Rest for the sin sick. Rest for those burdened down. Rest when the toils of life have got so big in your life you feel like I can't make it another day. Rest when you feel like all the news is bad news. Like everything's going the wrong way. Rest when you're ready to give up. Rest when you're tired and you're weary and you're poor. And as a matter of fact, that's the time you need Him and can see Him the most. When we think everything's going pretty well, first of all, we're probably mistaken about that. And secondly, we've lost sight of our need of a God who's the only one who can be our riches and the only one who can be our light and the only one who is our strength and the only one is who is our help. But He is all those things for us and so very much more. And as much as I can say it this morning, I haven't said it good enough. And as much as you can believe it, you haven't believed it good enough. You haven't believed it good enough. And as much peace that you have in it, there's more peace to be had. So don't hold back. When it comes time to serve the Lord, do it with all diligence. Do it as He said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding. Always abounding. Ought to be concerned about the ministry of the saints. Ought to be concerned about ministering, about being there for one another, about being here at the house of God, about honoring God with our lives, about when the doors are open to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, as much as we can. If we can be here in person, we ought to be here. If we can't be here in person and we can connect online, we ought to do that. If we're hindered by life circumstances, it's good to have a place we can still come, but as much as we can, we ought never let these things slip. And it's so easy for us to let them slip. And none of this is about getting right with God in order to be accepted with Him in heaven. It's about God's little children doing what we ought to do because of what He has already done. there's not going to be a list of rewards and benefits given to God's little children that were dutiful and being about their father's business while they're in this world, and others that don't receive the same benefits in heaven because they weren't as faithful and didn't follow along. Those rewards and those blessings and those benefits are found here in time, and even those that come in time don't come to us because we've merited them or deserved them. They come to us because a Savior died on the cross and paid the sin debt. Every blessing you have in this world comes through Jesus. Doesn't come because I got that right. If I get it right, it's because Jesus got it right first. If I'm able to do it, it's because He has worked that ability in me. He's worked the will in me. He's given me the desire to do it. And then He's given me the strength to do it. So that ultimately no place will I ever say, okay, God, this is what I have coming to me in the sense of some glory or some duty. Listen, we don't want what's coming to us. Because all we have been guilty of is sin. Every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I mean that in the sense of in me, that is in my flesh. And the Apostle Paul said that about him. You and I can say it about us, and we can really say it about one another. In us, that is in our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That means when it comes down to what list I've got, that I'm going to get my rewards, my accolades, my merit badges. And some people think of heaven like, oh, that's going to be the time I get to go home in glory, and I'm going to be able to stand before the Lord, and He's going to hand out all the merit badges to all of His children that have been attending church and have been doing all the things in this world. And it's an idea and a thought that's built solely on man and his righteousness. I'm telling you, there's not going to be any glory shared in heaven. There's too much of His glory that's given to men here in this world. None is going to be given in heaven to anyone but the Lord, because it's perfect and it's right in heaven. Everything's good in heaven. And when men are given the glory, that's not a good thing, because they do not deserve it. And God will not share His glory with anyone. God forbid I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did in our room instead, when He died on Calvary. That's what made a brother that would have never prayed come before us this morning, get down on his knees and pray and look to the Lord. And words come out of his mouth that at one time would have been the farthest thing from him ever doing. And I'm not saying about that brother. I'm saying God's worked a work of grace there. You're sitting on a pew today that you would have probably never sat on. And if you had been sitting there, you'd be glad when the meeting was over and you couldn't wait. But yet you're sitting there and I see you. I hope that's what I'm seeing. That you're anxious to know more about Him. You want to hear it, what you've heard before. You want to hear about His salvation that is so secure and so complete that you can't slip out of it or get out of it, because you know your weakness, that if it was left up to me in any part of it, I wouldn't get it done. I'd come short. And there are many of God's little children today who are secure for heaven, and yet in their heart, they're in misery and they're not having peace because they're still trying to get everything done. I often say it this way, they're still trying to check the right boxes. Isn't it good to know when Jesus came, He said, "It is finished." And that the work the Father gave Him to do, when they looked through heaven and on earth to find someone who had the ability to take the book and to open the seals thereof, there was none found. And John wept that there was none found that was worthy, until there was the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the Lamb of God was worthy to take the book, and He was able to open the seals. What did that mean? It means He carried out the very will of God. And God's will was that all of His children that were given in a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world might be with Him. And the will of God was finished in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and kept the law to a jot and to a tittle, so that He might be the perfect sacrifice as the Lamb of God that could take away our sins. And He removed them from us as far as the east is from the west. and they're never to be remembered against us anymore. He didn't try to do it. He didn't want to do it. He did it. And he finished it. And God's little children, listen, I'm speaking to you and all others that are under the sound of my voice. Listen, he did that because if you love him a little bit, it's because he first loved you. He did it for you. He paid that sin debt for you. And he did all that's necessary. So you don't have to be afraid of dying or pressing the dying pillar. Whether we sang it last night or this morning, I remember it. It says, when I lay my head down on the bed, I lay it down in peace. And if you've ever been in a place in your life and you felt that you were going to hell and you deserved that hell because of your sins, it's a wonderful thing to feel a peace that you can lay down your head at night in peace knowing my hope is, we say it as hope. You know why we say it as hope? Because we ain't there yet. We haven't seen it yet. It's not a hope like a wish. It's not a hope like maybe it will, maybe it won't. It's not a hope like that. It's a hope that's based in what Jesus has promised. He's promised. It's based on what he did. And it's based on the promises of Almighty God. It's based on what his word says. It's based on a God who cannot change and a God who cannot lie. It's based on a God who not only promised, but that the heirs of promise might know what a great God he is. He made the promise, and then by his own oath, he made an oath on that promise. You know, when men make an oath, you go in the court of law and make an oath, they sometimes say things that they know they're not going to keep the truth when they make the oath. The oath, their promise is no better than they are. And let's put it this way. Our promise, that gets personal. You know, you can always say they and them, but when it comes down to me and you, our oath is no better than we are outside of the grace of God. But I'm telling you, God's oath is something. When God made an oath, you and I have to make an oath. We have to make it upon in the name of God. In other words, we're standing in the sight of God and we recognize God holds us accountable. And we recognize He is able to take care, to pour His wrath out upon us if we break that oath. And so it ought to be a serious thing when we take an oath that we're going to say the truth. But we ought to be speaking the truth without the oath. The oath kind of settles it, doesn't it? Man makes an oath, and that kind of it gets man tied up as much as you can tie him up. But man still has a wiggle room, doesn't he? He finds a way out. You know, we find a way out of it. God made an oath. You know why God made an oath? God made an oath just to show us how sure it was. And he swore by himself. You know why he swore by himself? There ain't nobody bigger to swear. Nobody bigger to swear by. He made that oath and he swore by himself. He made it to Abraham. You can read about that in Genesis. He made it to Abraham. Not only has he made that oath to Abraham, he's made it to every one of his children. That oath was a covenant that he made, the counsel of God that took place even before the foundation of the world. A God who cannot lie promised us eternal life. And when did he do that? That God who cannot lie promised that according to Titus chapter 1. He made that promise before the world began. And that oath and that promise, those two immutable things that God cannot change and God cannot lie, those things, he will keep his promise. He will keep it, and you and I can be settled with it and count on it. That's why you and I ought to be involved as much as we can, as wide open as we can today in the ministry of the saints. What is it for us to do? If God's done it all, and that's what I just said, if God's done it all, is there anything for us to do? Is there a work for us to do? Is there something we ought to be doing? The Bible surely tells us that our lives ought to be all about this. I want to read to you from Hebrews 6 this morning, just for a little while. We've got 10 minutes left. He said in Hebrews 6, chapter 10. Excuse me. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. He said, for God is not unrighteous. That's a good verse right there. God is not unrighteous. Isn't that good to know? God is not unrighteous. Psalm 145 says it this way. He says, the Lord is righteous in all His ways. That's God. It's wonderful to have a powerful God, but it's surely good that powerful God's righteous, isn't it? He's righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Verse 17, Psalm 145. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Man is unrighteous in all his ways and unholy in all his works. That's the fundamental teachings of the Bible. Man is rotten and no good to the core, and God is altogether righteous. And if your doctrine doesn't line up with that, you got false doctrine. It's a pretty good test. He says, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. And he says, look at verse 18. And he says in Psalm 145, and it says, the Lord is nigh unto all that call upon Him and to all that call upon Him in truth. That's who's with us. The Lord is nigh to us. Over in the book of Job, he says in chapter 34 of the book of Job, Elihu talking to Job, he says this, verse 10, therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Those miserable comforters that had been around Job as well as Job, he says, you hearken unto me. Elihu is speaking, and I believe by inspiration of God. He says, therefore, hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness. So is God responsible for the wickedness in this world? Absolutely not. Because our God doesn't do wickedness. He's not unrighteous. And from the Almighty, that he should commit iniquity. Let's read it again. Therefore, hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. Our God cannot commit iniquity. Our God cannot do wickedness. That's our God. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, there in chapter 32, speaking here in the Song of Moses that Moses had written after they had been delivered out of Egypt and its bondage and about to enter into Canaan's land. And Moses has been told he's 120 years old and he's about to die. And Joshua was going to take his place as the leader that would guide them into the promised land. And Moses, knowing he can't go into the promised land, but he could see it from afar off, he says this song of Moses to them. And oh, what a beautiful song it is. I encourage you to read the whole chapter. Chapter 32. He says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. This is talking about what the gospel does for God's little children. Some people say, I don't think I know. I love the Lord. I don't need to come to church. I don't need to hear these things again. I'm telling you, you'll wither up in this old world without the truth of the gospel and the steady rains that it supplies in your life. And here Moses is saying, this doctrine, this truth, it's good for you. It'll make you feel better. It'll help you through life. You need it to direct you and to guide you. Again, the Lord has finished the work. Heaven is your home. But there's some truth that you and I need to be sharing with one another while we're living here in this world. And God is worthy of all the praise and adoration we can give Him. He says, because, listen to what He's going to do. What is that doctrine? What is that speech? Verse 3. He says, because I will publish the name of the Lord. I say that's what you do here at every good old Baptist meeting. When the preaching is where it ought to be, and the songs are what they ought to be, and the conversation of the brethren is what it ought to be, what do we talk about? We talk about the greatness of our God. He says, I will publish the name of the Lord, and I will ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Can we talk about God being bigger? Can we brag on God too much? Can we say that he's big, so big, and get him too big? You know, you can brag on your family, you can brag on your children, you can brag on your grandchildren, you can brag on your job, and quickly overrate everything. You know, that's what people do a lot. We all do it a lot. We shouldn't do it, but we all do it a lot, too much. Don't want to be too harsh here. Don't want to lose meekness. I want to be gentle, but I want to be plain. I want you to know when it comes to God, we can't brag on our God too much. Isn't that good? You can brag on your family too much. You can brag on your children too much. You can brag on your grandchildren too much. You can brag on your companion too much. You can brag on yourself way too much, real quick. But you can't brag on God too much. Isn't that good? And what makes you feel better is when we're bragging on the Lord. Now, when you're bragging on the Lord, you can be thankful for your family and your children and your grandchildren and every blessing that they are to you in your life. And you get them in the right place, and then you can really appreciate them and love them the way you ought to. But when we miss that, we really miss the mark. Boy, that 10 minutes is going to pass fast. I'm going as hard as I can to get it there, but that's all right. He is the rock. He says, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our rock. Get this. Verse 4. He is the rock. He isn't a rock. He isn't some rock among rocks. He isn't just one of the rocks. Some people believe there are many ways. No, there's one way. Some people believe there are many lords. No, there's one Lord. Some people believe there are many truths. No, there's one truth. There's one way, one truth, one life. And that is the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. And I can't brag on him too much. I can't ascribe more greatness to him than he is. Even in my best efforts, I'll fall short. And only until I am made like unto him will I be able to lift up my voice in complete and complete perfection. And then when heaven will be able to praise him as we ought. Isn't that good to know? That's going to be good. I'm saying to you, we ought to be doing it as much as we can and as wide open as we can and as often as we can while we're here in this world. That is what the ministry of the saints is all about. He says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, and for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. That's a good God, isn't it? A great God, a good God, a merciful God, a loving God, a God of wrath, and yet a God of mercy, and a God of grace. And he cannot do anything unrighteous. That's why he says here in that Hebrews 6, and I'm going to be brief here. I know, for God is not unrighteous. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Now some people read this and think that means that if we do our part and we get all this done, then God's going to reward us based on all those things we're doing. I'm telling you, if God had not already worked in your heart, if God had not already been there first, you would have no work of love. You would have no work of faith. You'd have no labor of love. It takes the Lord doing that in us. It is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But it is our responsibility and our duty to work it out. We're told to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that's what we ought to be doing in the ministry of the saints. And I want to get to that and we're going to close real quick. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. What that simply means is you're doing one of the most important things you can do right now in your life, and that is being among God's people, acting and behaving like God's children are supposed to act and behave to one another, worshiping the Lord together, encouraging one another. It's the biggest help that we'll have in this world. I say to you, if the Lord's church had not been a major part of my life, how empty my life would have been because of that. Can you not say that as well? What has the Lord given you in allowing you to know the truth and understand the truth? What a blessing it is to have fellow believers that you can call upon when you're in trouble and ask them to pray for you, and you can feel their prayers as they offer them. What does it mean to have brethren that will come to you when you need a little admonition and a little correction, and they lovingly and gently help you along the way and encourage you to come, you know, to take up your cross and to follow the Lord? What is it like to have the friends that we have in the Lord's house and the Lord's people? And all of that comes to us because we have the same Heavenly Father, and we have a kinship in the Lord, and because of His love for us. If it was not for the grace of God, nobody would be of any help to you at all. It's God's grace. He says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name." What is this all about? If we're here today for anything else other than to honor God, that's what church is all about. I want to honor the Lord. I want to love my brethren because it's honoring to the Lord. I want to do good to folks because it's honoring to the Lord. I want to live my life in a way to please the God of heaven because it's honoring to His name and glorifying to Him. I want to follow what He says when He says, "Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The only way we have any good works is because He's given us them, and we're to let them shine in our life. And He says, "In that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." I believe what the Apostle Paul, and I believe that's the writer of the book of Hebrews, is saying to these Hebrew brethren, is that I want you to go at this full speed, wide open, serving the Lord with all that's in you to the full assurance of hope to the end. Leave you with one passage found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 15. He says, "I beseech you, brethren," in that verse, the Apostle Paul writing to the brethren here at Corinth, he says, "I beseech you, brethren, that ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia," that is the first converts, or those who first came to understand and know the truth in Achaia. He says that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. When we think of addictions, and we usually think of something negative every time we read about addictions, or even think about addictions. It's where you become physically or psychologically dependent on something to the point you can't get along without it. Notice what these people have done. They've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I believe the Apostle Paul was telling the Hebrews, "Brethren, I hope you get addicted. I hope you're addicted to the ministry of the saints." He didn't want them addicted to drugs. He didn't want them addicted to alcohol. He didn't want them addicted to food. He didn't want them addicted to all the things that would do them harm. But I'm telling you, you can devote yourself and your life to the ministry of the saints. And the ministry of the saints is about loving one another. It's about praying for one another. It's about preaching to one another. It's about admonishing one another. It's about singing with one another. It's about worship. It's about coming together in a body of believers and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And I hope you get every one of you to the place you just can't make it in this world without it. So when the time comes to go to church, it's not about do I have to go to church. It's about I can't make it if I don't go to church. If the only reason you're coming to church is to check a box, I don't believe that's going to be very meaningful to you. But if the reason you come is because I need the food I get there, I need the drink I get there, I need the encouragement I get there, I need to hear about this Lord who's done so much for me, I need to be closer to Him, I feel closer to Him, and as I get into that position where I'm about the ministry of the saints, I get to feel more and more like I'm His child. Is it important to you today to feel that you belong to Him? Isn't it scary when we feel like maybe we're not His? And maybe we are going to be among those on the left rather than those on the right when He comes again? Isn't it a dark, cold feeling in your heart when you even think about the possibility that he might say to us, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels"? The good news for God's little children is that that's not what you're going to hear. And the reason you're not going to hear that is because Jesus came and died for you. You are an heir of promise. You belong to him. And nothing's going to separate you from his love, so that you will hear, rather than what that which is said to those on the left, you will hear, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And I'm saying to you, the more we sing together, the more we pray together, the more we sit in here preaching together, the closer we are in living together in this world, the more assurance you're going to have about that day that's coming. It's coming whether you know it or not. But that day, it doesn't make it more sure. It just makes it more sure to you. I need to feel that I belong to him. You're about to have another little one, brother. And you need to feel that you belong to him to help you. Brother Terry, you have another grandchild. Don't you need to feel that you belong to him? And I don't know what else is going on in all your other lives. I wouldn't know this if she hadn't told me, but God's known it from before the foundation of the world. No news to him. What news to him? And in this uncertain world, I need to know I belong to him. So that when I lay my head down on the pillow, I know that if I don't, like Brother Barney says, I just want to wake up dead. When I hear that, I just think of Brother Barney when I hear that. He said, when I die, I just want to wake up dead. You know what he's saying? Just want to go to sleep. Doesn't it mean a lot to you, though, when you can lay down at night knowing I'm in the hands of a God who's promised me and made an oath and who cannot lie and will not change, and I can rest in him? And then every trouble that comes, whether the news is what I want or whether I don't want it, because sometimes the news, we've had a lot of good news, you know. We've had a lot of good news. A lot of things have gone just the way we wanted them to go. You know, sometimes it doesn't go that way. Because God's way is better than our way. God answers every prayer. Sometimes he simply says no. And there's a day coming when we will press the dying pillow unless the Lord comes in air. And we'll lay our head down for the last time on our beds to sleep. A little child of grace, I want us to know with full assurance of hope to the end that that home in heaven is just as secure for you as Jesus died on the cross and he came forth out of the grave. It's just as sure as there's an empty tomb. It's just as sure as he's seated on the right hand of the Father in heaven. It's just as sure as his promise that I'll never leave you or never forsake you are going to be there. So you just lay your head down and rest. Your Heavenly Father's got it. I remember Brother Jamie preaching late recently about man saying, "I got this," and how he didn't have anything. But I'm telling you, God could say, "I got this." And he's got it. A God who cannot fail. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness beyond any of our understanding. What a God we have. You have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
$176.